As we look at our society today, we see a parallel situation. The parallel situation is this, is that Jesus came and he said, I am the great I am. He said, I am the one who's able to deliver you from any situation that you're in. I'm able to break your chains. I'm able to break your shackles. And yet and still, we see people who are still enslaved in chains.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of I Am That I Am, Jesus is the Great I Am, from our series Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of I Am That I Am, Jesus is the Great I Am.
We're continuing on with our series on Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. And we've been trying to help the congregation to know more about Jesus. We sing about him every week. We serve him. We worship him. We praise him. And we ought to know who he is. When we think about all the different ideologies that people have about Jesus, we as his followers ought to know the truth. That's why when you hear people talking about Jesus, I'm not too quick to agree. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I don't know what Jesus they're talking about. You know, when people say something about Jesus, I kind of wait for a minute. And I said, tell me more. Need to hear a little more. Just can't hear about Jesus because there's all kind of Jesus floating around there. And I want to know if you're talking about the Jesus of the Bible. Because some people will tell you that Jesus wore designer clothes and drove around in high-priced chariots. And if you just name it, you can claim whatever you want. I don't see that Jesus in the Bible. Some people will tell you that Jesus was just a good man, and he died as a martyr. I don't see that Jesus in the Bible. Some people will tell you that I did a workshop yesterday at Macedonia Baptist Church, and after I got done, I advertised my books, and one of the participants in the workshop came up to me and asked me if I'd heard this video that's out. And I didn't hear it. They said it was put out by Bill Maher, which he is denouncing Christianity and even saying that Jesus, there's question as to whether he even existed. Well, see, he don't know who Jesus is. So I need to know a little bit more when you say Jesus. And as we come today, hopefully we've been talking about that song, More About Jesus, What I Know. All right, so we'll learn a little bit more about him today. And today we want to look at the fact that he is the great I am. On January 1st, 1863, Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which in effect outlawed slavery in the United States, thereby setting all the slaves free. However, this proclamation was not delivered or read in the state of Texas. As a matter of fact, the people, the slaves in Texas, continued in slavery until 1865, when the Union Army fought against the resistance of the leaders in Texas, and they came and they delivered and read the Emancipation Proclamation, which showed that the slaves had been set free. This celebration is celebrated today as something that we know as, it's called Juneteenth. It's on the 19th of June, in which the recognition of the slaves of Texas officially being liberated from slavery. So for 2.5 years, the slaves in Texas continued to serve in bondage because they didn't know that they were free. As we look at our society today, we see a parallel situation. The parallel situation is this, is that Jesus came and he said, I am the great I am. He said, I am the one who's able to deliver you from any situation that you're in. I'm able to break your chains. I'm able to break your shackles. And yet and still we see people who are still enslaved in chains. They haven't received the Emancipation Proclamation. It's not the state of Texas, but more than likely it's the enemies of the army of the devil that have held Christians back. And so Jesus announces himself as the great I am, yet we still have Christians who live in shackles. We still have Christians who live worried and fearful lives. We still have Christians who are walking in defeat. And why is it? It's because they haven't recognized Jesus as the great I am. And so we traveled back to Exodus and saw the confrontation with Moses at the burning bush, and how that God announced himself to Moses as I am. We scaled back to the book of John and saw that in John chapter 8, Jesus announced that he was the great I am. And so as we go through this morning, we want to look at the seven I ams of Jesus as they are found in the Gospel of John. And I want to say this, that this past week I checked out a couple of books from the library at the seminary just on the I am. And I mean, they wrote chapters on just one aspect of the great I am. So I don't have time to get into it this morning, and I'm just going to try to give you the essence of each one. But I would encourage you, it would make a fantastic study to just go back and look at the I ams of Jesus. And so the first I am that we see Jesus announcing, he says in the Gospel of John chapter 6 that he is the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now, where does this analogy come from? We have to travel back to the Old Testament. As we travel back to the Old Testament, we see the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. And as they wandered in the wilderness, they had nothing to eat. And they needed something to sustain them while they traveled to the promised land. And so every day, what God would do, he would drop down this stuff from heaven, and the Israelites would gather it, and they would eat it, and that would sustain them each day. Now, when they got it, because it came down from heaven, they asked the question, what is it? What is this stuff? And that's where we get the word manna from, because manna means what is it? And so Jesus comes in the New Testament, and Jesus Christ says that I am the bread of life, that I am the manna that you are able to sustain your soul on. I am the manna that comes down, and every day, if you will just partake in me, you will have spiritual life. Nutritionists tell us that there are two types of food. There are dead foods, and there are live foods. The dead foods are those foods that have a lot of caloric value, but they have no nutritional value. And that you eat them, and because they've been processed, because they've been filled with a bunch of preservatives, basically they taste good, but there's no nutrition for your body. On the other hand, there are live foods that they are still living, that when they sit on your plate, they are still living. There are nutrients, there are enzymes, there are all type of good things in these foods. And as you eat these foods, they go into your body and they feed your body. And not only do they feed your body, but in a lot of cases, if you get the right ones, they begin to ward off diseases. They begin to fight off infections. They begin to do battle against all the attacks that the system would come up to tear down your immune system. And so when Jesus says that he is the bread of life, he's letting us know that if we will eat him, you know, just think of the analogy. And I'm more and more persuaded. I might not be eating the way that I need to eat. And I think all of us like to enjoy some the dainties of life. I believe that we're all like that. But as we go on, you know, saints, that sometime during the week, sometime during the day, we need to put some live foods in our body. We need to put some foods in our body that are giving us nutrients and that are giving us the enzymes that we need to build up our immune system to keep us healthy. And Jesus, just think about that. And again, I'm amazed how that, and I try to watch a lot of nutritional programs. Like I said, I'm not the best at following all the advice that I get, but I try to watch a lot of nutritional programs. And the one thing that I see, and the reality of it, is that these things are good for you, and they help you. Now switch it over to the spiritual. Jesus said, if you will eat me, if you will come to me and accept me as your Lord and Savior, if you will eat from the Word of God, if you will get into the Word of God and study, if you will meditate in the Word of God, that I'll begin to feed your soul and that your body will be strengthened and built up and your immune system will be strong, and that when the attacks of the devil come, you'll be able to ward them off, that you'll have all the probiotics and you'll have all the new vitamins that you need to fight off the things that attack your body. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of me, that you will live. And so he lets us know, first of all, I am. And I believe that when Jesus said, I am, and I'm going to show you here in a second, when he said, I am, that's a powerful statement. Because basically what he's saying is that I am whatever you need. Whatever you need in life, I am. I am the bread of life. Secondly, he says in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus, then spoke Jesus again unto them saying, I am the light of the world. There are many religions and spiritual leaders today that claim to have divine enlightenment. You think about many of the Eastern religions, Confucianism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Shintoism, all those, what do they claim? They claim to have a light. They claim to enlighten you. When you think of Scientology says that you can have enlightenment and you can have a greater awareness of the things that are around you. The New Age will tell you that the light is in you and all you have to do is tap into the light that's within. And so when we think about it, there's a lot of religions, a lot of religious leaders in our society today that are telling people that you can be enlightened. And you know, the sad fact is that many people are following them. You know, you think about Scientology. It's a religion in our country today that has overtaken Hollywood. Many of the movie stars in Hollywood are into Scientology. Why are they into Scientology? One of the reasons that they're into it, because it tells you that you can be enlightened. How many of us want to be enlightened? I don't want to be in the dark. I don't want to be in the shade. I want to be in the light. And so why not follow one of these religions if they're telling me that they're going to lead me to the light? And you know, and I stand here today, and if you follow those religions, I'm going to tell you what, you will find some enlightenment. Generally, people who follow those religions are, watch this now, they are generally better people. And they are generally a little bit more conscious. They may be a little more moral. Because why? Because they have been enlightened. You know, you can go all around the city today and find religions that will enlighten you. But what is the difference between the enlightenment that they bring and the light that Jesus gives? Well, if you turn to John chapter 5, in verse 26. There's a big difference. Oh, hallelujah. There's a big difference between, oh man, this is deep. This is powerful. There is a big difference between the light, enlightenment that these religions give you and the light that Jesus gives you. John chapter 5 and verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in him. What is the difference? The light that the religions bring is just intellectual enlightenment. Oh, hallelujah. The light that Jesus brings, watch this, it gives life. It's just not some mind-filled intellectual acknowledgement that you have, and all of a sudden the light goes on in your mind and you have your eyes open to something. No, Jesus gives more than just enlightenment to the truth. He gives light to the soul. And that's why Jesus proclaimed himself that there are all sources of enlightenment around. But Jesus set himself apart from all the rest of them because he said that I am the light of the world. And notice this, that, and I've taught this before, but there are two Greek words for light or for life. There is bios, which we get the word biology. Those of you who went to college and took courses in biology, we know that that's the study of life. Now, that word bios, biology, that's the study of human life, all right? Jesus said he gives life. The Greek word there is zoe, and that word means divine life, spiritual life. And so the life and the light that Jesus gives is spiritual life, spiritual enlightenment. So keep in mind when he proclaims that he is the light of the world, he is setting himself apart from every other religion and every other leader that says they have the way to enlightenment. So he is the light of the world. He is the door. What does that mean? In John chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. In the Middle East, the sheep would go out and graze in the pasture during the day. And at night, they would come in to some structure for shelter and be safe. Jesus says that I am the door of the sheep. So what is he saying? He says, I am the door, watch this, that lets them out to eat, and I am the door. When they come back in, I close and I protect them and I keep them safe. He said, I am the door. Jesus is the door in your life. Oh, have you recognized him as a door today? He is the door that opens up and lets you go out and nourish yourself. He is the door that lets you go out and feed until your soul is satisfied. He is the door that opens up, and like this morning, as we worship in the presence of the Lord, that feeds our soul so that we might be strengthened in our walk with him. And then when we get done eating and we get done worshiping and we get done serving, he is the door that opens back up and says, come on in, little child. Come on in, little sheep. And he is the door that closes and he keeps us safe at all times. Jesus said, I am the door. But praise God, I don't want to stop there, because I got some good news. That was for the Christians, right? Let me give some news to those that don't know Christ, that if you want to know God and have eternal life, Jesus says that I am the door that opens up so that you might have eternal life. He said if you try to get in any other way, that you're a thief and a robber. And many people are trying to come in other ways. Jehovah's Witnesses are trying to come in another way. The Mormons are trying to come in another way. The Muslims are trying to come in another way. Jesus said that I am the door. I am the only way that opens up into the kingdom of God. What a profound and exclusive statement. Jesus said that I am the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. Jesus says that there are individuals who the shepherd will hire to be a hireling. And he'll stay out there making $7.25 an hour watching the sheep. And he's cool. Just at the end of the week, pay me for my 40, and I'm good. And so he works his 40 hours. Now, on his watch, if a wolf comes, on his watch, if a predator comes, he will see the predator coming and realize that I don't have the resources to fight off the predator. And so what does he do? He leaves, and now the sheep are open to attack. But the good shepherd says, because I paid for the sheep, because I love the sheep, because the sheep hear my voice, because the sheep are mine, that whenever the predator comes, he says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so what was Jesus saying when he said that I am the shepherd? What Jesus says, that I love the sheep so much that I'm willing to lay down my life for you. And that he died in my place, that he took my punishment. He paid for my hell so that I don't have to go. And Jesus, as the good shepherd, he didn't flee. When he was on that cross, he could have been a hireling. When they were beating him with that whip, he could have been a hireling. When they were spitting in his face, he could have been a hireling. When they were punching him in his face, he could have been a hireling. When they nailed him to the cross, he could have been a hireling. But because he was the good shepherd, he laid down his life for the sheep, and he died on the cross for your sins and for my sins, because he is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. He says in John 11:25, that I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus died on the cross. I'm going to preach a message in a couple of weeks on the resurrection of Christ. But Jesus died on the cross. He didn't swoon and pass out and was resuscitated in the cool tomb. He died on the cross. His body died on the cross. And so when he died on the cross, he said, Father, into my hands I commit thy spirit. But his body was graveyard dead on the cross. So now Jesus comes back and he says that I am the resurrection. What does that mean? I am the resurrection. What it means?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of I Am That I Am. Jesus is the Great I Am. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, I Am That I Am, Jesus is the Great I Am, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request I Am That I Am, Jesus is the Great I Am. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request I Am That I Am, Jesus is the Great I Am, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.